said, excuse me, June, understand where I'm at.
This is all you got left to work with, all right? This is hard. This is erect. This is an erect penis. And this is what happens if Jashiel gets done down with you.
Oh my god, what? Why is the comment so quiet? I need help here. Like, Rayman should be here. This is fucking ridiculous. You're freaking man. You're talking about grief and loss. You're stupid.
Andreas, look, I found Whitefish's penis, bro. Here it is. The whole time it's been right here. I had it right here behind my laptop.
Oh my god.
It's Whitefish's penis, bro. Folks, I found it.
I cannot.
The search is over.
I cannot move on. Move on. This is going too far. I mean, too far from already many far from Jeff Trinolich himself. Well, he should be called 10. What? I think I'll give it a 5 if we want to be this disturbing. And
Whitefish's penis found. $2 gets a 10 out of 10 on that one.
I'm here today to meet the woman of my dreams. I've been talking to this girl on the internet for a while. I've actually been trying to save some money to go see this woman.
You talk to her online?
I go to the library, believe it or not, talk to this woman. I met her on MySpace, yeah. And she's a very beautiful woman. She's tall, skinny, redhead, very beautiful woman.
Why don't we do it this way? Because you've never met her
before. Never met her.
Well, then I'm going to ask you to leave for a few moments, and we'll want to bring her out, let the audience meet her. And then we can both observe you two meeting, which will be a nice moment in your life, okay? So if you would just
leave
her. We'll have you back in a moment. Thank you. So her name is Joby. Let's bring out Joby. Hi, Joby.
Hello, Jerry.
You met here, Brad, here on the internet.
Yes, we met on MySpace.
On MySpace.
How do these motherfuckers keep a straight face?
To him?
He was cute. He seemed very nice in the message he sent me.
Yeah. And you think this could be the one?
Yes.
And
but I have a secret to tell him.
You have a secret to tell him?
Yes.
And your secret is?
I'm a man, Jerry.
No.
He says he wants to meet me, you know, he tried to get a bus ticket or whatever.
I never would have known.
I said I'd just call the Jerry Springer Show, you know, because then it would give it more of a spin.
Well, let's see what, you know, what his reaction is going to be. But you really care about him. This isn't just to play a trick on someone. You really want him to be okay with you. All right. Well, let's bring him out now. Okay, how about a nice hand? Let's bring him back now. Here's Brad.
How you doing? Good to meet you. It's kind of nervous on national TV, I know, but like...
He almost laughed right there.
You could be my girlfriend.
Well, Brad, I have to tell you, I'm a man.
You see that stare?
I'll try anything once.
That's right, folks. This is the MCU's Bleeding Edge YouTube channel and podcast where we will try anything once, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you do it. That's an old school tranny where they used to just say, I'm a man. Yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? Whatnot? Like, fuck it. You know what I mean? And then make out with a dude. I gotta love it, though. Only on Jerry do the people make out like that.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Yep.
That shit is hilarious. Did you see him almost laugh? Her almost laugh?
Yes, almost did.
It was funny, right? Oh my god. I bet if I went and rewatched Jerry, hey Sally. I bet if I went and rewatched Jerry, right? Because I used to watch it back in the day. If I watched it now, there's probably a lot of moments like that. Right?
Oh yeah.
That I never noticed.
Yeah, that was but it was funny. You know, when
the people like, you know, like would actually literally like start to laugh or whatever, whatnot,
start to laugh
like, and how stupid the whole shit is and everything, you know? You got the fucking audience already cussing at the fucking person or whatever, whatnot. Like when they come out and shit, whatnot, they're bleeping the fucking audience, right?
Yeah, it's like everybody in the audience knew she was a he except Jerry.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, what?
Jerry don't even care, man. He's seen so much. Jerry's seen everything on his show. He don't even give a fuck, bro.
He don't care, man. Jerry was awesome.
Just rolls with it all, bro. He just rolls with it. You know what I'm saying? And made his money, right?
Yep, he made his money at the end.
Him and Maury, bro. I like Maury too, bro.
Yeah, Maury was more the baby's daddy type.
Yeah, you know, Maury was the MVP of the bleachers with all the black dudes. Yeah, right? Like 30 of them and shit and whatnot with the one black hoe or whatever, whatnot. Like Jerry or Maury, I know one of them men is the baby daddy, and like none of them are. Right? Yep.
Yeah. Jerry was more like, we don't care about the baby's daddy. We just
She runs down that tunnel, and Maury chases her and shit. Yeah, he does. He chases her and shit, and says, "Oh, we're gonna help you and everything and whatnot." And don't worry and all that shit. That's like he's a chick father and shit, you know. Oh my god, bro!
Then you are not the father, and she run off.
And then I love it. The dude does a backflip, right?
That was awesome. That was awesome. Jerry was cool because Jerry, they'd walk in and just start fighting.
Just make out.
Red-headed vixens or some shit like that.
Like some dude's brother would come in and like make out with his wife right now, like instantly right in front of him and shit or whatever. This is actually Andres' ex-girlfriend.
Today on an all-new Dr. Phil.
Reincarnation of Pocahontas. I'm sharing her soul in my body.
Her parents claim their daughter,
they've seen you speaking in tongues,
is violent.
I just kind of pulled her over my shoulder, threw her, and then right in the eye.
And has issues.
This is how you showed up for work.
Please help my daughter.
You think I'm crazy? Are you sure that you guys aren't just delusional?
Let's do it.
Yo. Hats off to Dr. Phil's people, bro, for putting that clips together like that and shit and whatnot. They really make that bitches. They really work that motherfuckers because that bitch don't look all that crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've met some crazy bitches. She don't look all that crazy, right? But they make it, like, all montaged out and shit and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, the music. Like, and they get
slow motion and shit and whatnot, right? When she's, like, swinging her arms and shit and whatnot. Like, she's a fucking demon or some shit, right?
Yeah, he's got some good editors.
She's probably just some asshole. She's probably just fucking like semi-crazy and whatnot. Yeah. Slut type chick. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, whatnot, right?
She's the reincarnation of Pocahontas, according to her.
Yeah. I got to watch that full episode eventually, dude. It sounds interesting, really. It sounds interesting. But my favorite ones, though, just to get off this, my favorite ones are the ones that are really delusional. Like, really delusional. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the best ones. The females. So it's only females, never dudes that come out after pill are like straight delusional.
Well, see, the dudes can't sell it. The females, man, they sell it good.
Yeah, like they believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dudes, they're just like, oh, you're just a pussy, man.
They're like, the chick's like, nah, I never sold that meth. The cop put it on me or whatever. Dr. Phil breaks the whole thing down and pulls out the documents and shit and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? It's funny as shit. Anyways, folks, great intro here. I'm here with Alan from the Black Lincoln Collective Comedy Podcast. I got to remember that. It doesn't help me out. He doesn't put it in his abbreviated shit or anything, like add that extra C to try to aid me and shit. But where you are, believe it or not, even though this is all over the place, all of, you know, what the fuck, crazy and shit here, this intro, this actually is the Fallout Episode 2 review. I believe the episode title is The Target. Alan, thank you very much for coming out of the Bleeding Edge, brother, and doing your first TV series episode review of the year. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's my first one, yeah.
And look, it's just me and you, bro. No surprises. No surprise guests. I've had a lot of people call off lately. I've had a lot of shows and whatnot, everything. A lot of it for valid reasons. And I had two people call off for today. And Cyber got called off, too. So we had five, and then it turned into two.
Heck yeah. That's all right.
It's all good. That's all right. Jasim has been doing a lot of shows with us lately, doing a lot of Shogun. I didn't want to overextend it with him. He did the first episode of Fallout with us last weekend.
Yeah.
He needed a break. Andre needed a break. You know, he does a lot of shows, you know what I'm saying, with us, you know.
He does a lot of shows.
And he does all his own content, too. We're good friends with the Black Lincoln Collective Comedy Podcast going back a long time. I've made content before with Alan and Freddie and Matt. Yes. Going back over like 2 years ago, right? I've been on their show twice, I think.
Yes,
you know, twice. And Alan, Freddie, and Matt have all been on the Bleeding Edge, you know, on the panel. Matt's been on several times, not as many times as Alan, but Matt's been on a bunch of times to do Star Wars and shit like that and whatnot, DC yeah. stuff. You know, and Alan mostly has always done movie reviews with us. So it'll be a nice twist, right?
Yeah, it'll be something different.
Yeah, for you and the audience to get a chance to see Alan take on his first episodical TV, you know, recap. Since really all he's really ever done with us in the past has been full-blown movie reviews, which are a different kind of deal, right? Like the one I just did last night is a lot different than what we're going to do right now. The approach and the whole mindset, the energy and whatnot of doing these recaps when it comes to the episodical stuff. You know, the length of the what you watch and take in is so much shorter, right? The stories aren't as big, you know, like and you're doing it episodically, right? So it's all connected. It's going out, you know, across week to week span. So you're learning as you go, right? Growing with the series almost, you know, where you don't have that with a film.
No,
it all happens during the film, right? It's all one big, you know, deal, right? That's the lifespan of it. You know, which is that's one of the things I'll tell you, Alan, about doing movie reviews. I did Doom Part 2 last night and I had to moderate it, like do my outline. That shit was actually a little bit intimidating. Because Dune is really, really good, Dune Part 2. It's not as epic as something out there making it out the sound. At least I don't think it is. That's my opinion. But it is really fucking good.
See, right? I hadn't watched it yet. So.
It's really good. I mean, everything people are saying about it is legit. Like, it's legitimately an epic. It's an epic movie. It's legitimately like an old school Hollywood epic, you know, blockbuster kind of type film.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. And a sci-fi one of all movies to do that, right?
Yeah, see, I didn't when the original came out. I didn't like the original, and that's probably why I hadn't made it.
Nobody likes the original, dude. You mean the first Dune movie or the '80s Dune?
No, the '80s movie. Yeah.
No one likes that movie, bro.
I didn't understand it.
I would never even waste the time to watch it.
Yeah,
I've seen scenes of it. It looked so bad.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't. So when the new one came out, I was like, well, I've seen the older one, and everybody says the same thing. You need to watch it. I just, man.
Special effects and everything and whatnot and all that. The cinematography just wasn't in a place back then in the 80s and whatnot where you could really make a Dune film properly. You know what I'm saying? It just really wasn't. You couldn't do it, right? The writing is one thing. The book, you know, the actual actors, actresses, you know, with the characters somewhat, so it's all the same. But when it comes to the ability to actually, you know, cinematically to, you know, to make it look like what you expect Dune to look like.
Yeah.
What you hear about it, right? You know, as advanced and whatnot, everything, right? And like, you know, connect all that with the writing, with the books, you know, connect it with the actual visual part, you know, and add all the digital effects and all that shit and whatnot, like they're able to now, you know, instead of all the, you know, actual physical, you know, effects.
With CGI, the way it works out now and all that.
The CGI wasn't even really a CGI back then. What they had for digital effects was pretty limited.
Yeah.
But so what do you think, sir? You told me that you've already been watching Fallout basically since it first came out.
Yes.
Right? And you're already past you're past episode 2
in the series. Yes, I'm on episode 5. I think I'm on 5 because I didn't get a chance to. I mean, you know, when I talked to you last week, you know, I was out of town, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. But I played all the games, you know, 76, Vegas.
That's great. That's that'll make you a really good asset to help us out here and there in the series to have that intangible. Because I played Fallout 3 a little bit and whatnot. But I didn't get that far into it. I know a little bit about the game more than most people who have been on so far.
Yeah.
But having anybody on when it comes to these game-based TV or movie-type deals, just like when we did The Last of Us, I really made an effort to try and was lucky to have people that came on, you know, that were on the team, right, or that I was able to bring in that knew the games, right, like, to the T. So I had that going on the panels, and I think that on one hand, just like you know, I like to think about the general audience that's watching the series, right? Like that's watching Fallout and what they think, you know, or what they think X-Men 97, for instance, you know, like people will never watch the old show. In contrast, it's interesting to me, you know, to have people's opinions that have played the games, but then don't know anything about them either, right? That contrast.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and that's what's cool about Fallout so far. I think is it's getting so much highly critical praise, right? They already greenlit season 2, I think 2 or 3 days ago, right?
Yeah, they did.
And for Amazon Studios, that's a big move.
Yeah,
right.
They did a good job.
They didn't exactly hit a home run with fucking Rings of Power, baby. You know what I'm saying?
The only thing that Amazon did, and they actually didn't start it, which I thought was good, was The Expanse.
Yeah, you know what? I never watched that. Wasn't that on something else before it was on Amazon?
Yeah, it was on Sci-Fi. I think it was Sci-Fi or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. What do you call it? No, supposedly the Jack Ryan or whatever whatnot series they had out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did.
Was supposed to actually be pretty good. I saw the trailers and they looked pretty good. Yeah, but the Rings of Power was not very good. It wasn't as bad as people made it out to be sound. But like the people who like literally like making the butt of jokes and shit in their content and whatnot at times, there's a good reason for it. Right, yeah. They totally went was on some Mary Sue shit with that whole deal.
Yeah, and like normal people, like normal like myself, we invested a lot of time in the movies because the movies were long as shit.
The movies were all concerned about like progressive politics and whatnot, and diversity and inclusivity and all that shit, and whatnot. Like the Amazon came into that mentality with the series. That's what fucked it up, man.
Yeah, that's just you can't
that agenda, that messaging agenda, right, and whatnot, everything, and that. Adding that, that pressure.
It would be nice if they just made an entertaining series.
And, yeah.
Just made it entertaining.
Because when you had that effect of the casting and everything, the whole production, the fact that you have to have diversity, right? You have to have black characters in this universe or whatever, whatnot, and gay characters or nothing now or some shit or whatever, right? Or somebody's going to not kill themselves. That mentality does not help.
And they can actually have that. They can do that if they just do it just doing it, not forcing it.
Naturally.
Yeah. If you just add the characters to it, this character is gay, hey, that's fine. But when you force it on somebody, it doesn't matter if it's gay or not gay or black or white. If you force a character on the viewer, we're going to stop watching.
I know. It'd be like if they forced me to actually be gay, right? In my role, remember whatnot, when I wasn't gay and like suck dick or something, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything else, I mean, I wouldn't know.
Like, I'm not down with that D, baby. I ain't doing all that, right? I'm not that kind of dedicated actor, bro. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. You know, I mean,
if you're gonna be if your character calls for, let's say the original cast called for a gay actor, that's fine. But if it calls for a straight guy and you bring in a gay guy, it's.
It affects the chemistry of everything and whatnot. Yeah, it really does.
Well, like they did, and then sometimes it works fine. Like Battlestar Galactica, when they brought Starbuck as a woman, it worked great.
Oh, I know. It was actually one of the best decisions they made with the show. Yeah.
But they didn't force it. It just happened that in the TV series, Starbuck was a woman. It doesn't mean.
I'm gonna end this off track conversation, but I'm gonna say to tie that up is anybody who never saw the second Battlestar Galactica that came out in the early 2000s, you don't even know how fucking much legit like what's her name that plays Bo-Katan in The Mandalorian,
Katie Sackhoff,
how much she fucking killed it. In Battlestar Galactica and Starbuck. Like, she literally killed it. Without her, the show would have never been the same. No. She was that impactful. And that was a really, really well, received and, highly viewed show that, that kind of tanked towards the end. But, had a lot of strength going there for a while. It was pretty solid.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it. I need to watch that bitch sometime. It's been a while. But, so, Fallout, it was a long episode. The first episode, the second episode, I'm sorry, of course, was The Target, right? And it was an hour and 5 minutes. Right, which is pretty long.
Yeah.
One of the things I find interesting about the show is that it has no actual themed intro, right? Which I like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a coin, right? Always insert it, right, to start off the show at some point, or right at the jump, or like after, an opening scene. They don't have that. All they have is just almost like the game, they just flash the logo, right? For a second or whatnot, right? At some point, that's all they give you. You know what I mean? Honestly, I don't know about you, but you've watched farther ahead than I have. I love the music in episode two and episode one so far, especially in episode two from the games. Some of it's from the games. I know it is.
Yeah. It's from the games. Yeah,
it has all that old 1940s, 1950s or whatever, whatnot, pop and country music and whatnot, all that, whatever you want to call it, type shit that they have. Is really great. It's so fitting to the landscape of the show. You know, they tie it in well. The director does, right? I think he does a really good job tying into. That's one of the things I noticed right off the bat with episode two was, you know, the opening right off the bat where, you know, you get no themed intro. Instead, you get, the old timely music, and then you get Dr. Wilson, right? The main, who's basically, you know, the target, right? And the main objective is basically the guy who gets the most, not maybe screen time, but is all over the place during the episode. Like, we see a lot of them. And that's Wilson, right? Who everybody's looking for. All our main characters, you know, to some extent, whether they know it or not at the beginning of episode two, are looking for him, you know? Which is really dope. I love how they connected all that with the three main characters. Yeah. That's their goal. That's how it ties them together initially. Really well done, right? You know, putting them together the way that they do across the span of episode two. But we can start right off with Wilzig and the dog, his dog. And they're doing he's doing experiments on dogs. Yeah, what I believe is the Enclave, right? Like a base for the Enclave, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and now the Enclave from the games are just essentially like high-level, almost quasi-government figures, like, you know what I'm saying, and whatnot, that you know, are still around coming off of the survivors of, you know, the government left over from the nukes, you know? And essentially, you know, how would you describe them, Alan, the Enclave? They're essentially like, you know, they have all the science, they have scientists. They're connected to Volt Tech. Right.
Yeah. They're the survivors. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, in the survivors that they rule, you know, they have
no way. Structure. I mean, they're a faction.
Yeah, they're a faction, but they have their own structure. It's a solid structure. You know, it's like it's a government. It's more like a communist type.
But they're more higher up. Like, they have more going on. Like,
they have a lot more resources than everybody.
Yes.
Else.
Yes. Yeah. They live better. Right, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, probably that even the people in the vault, in the vaults, right? You know, so, well, maybe I don't know about that. That's a tough comparison. The vault people are pretty well off.
We've only seen two vaults, so really we don't.
That's right. I know. We're gonna see more though. You know that.
Yeah.
But no. So we get the dog. The relationship with Wilson and the dog is cute. I really do like it. It does add an emotional connection, to the episode in a way, almost, or a. You know, just to, you know, to add another layer, another wrinkle to sort of the story. Yeah,
and the dog in the game is a deadbeat, you know.
Oh, yeah, deadbeat, yep.
Yeah, he's a big character.
He's about like your buddy.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that they introduced him early. Because at the beginning, you know, when they showed it, you really didn't know what it was because it was a black-looking thing.
Dog meat, dog meat. Yep.
You know, and then the next thing you know, he you get attached to. Yeah, you actually get attached to.
I knew that would end up being
CCX-40. I think its name.
Oh, when it goes robotic. Yeah, most definitely. They're not going to go that far in the show.
I think the designation on the in the show is they call it a CC. Let me see. I'm going to look up my notes. Yeah, it's a CCX-40. That's the designation that they don't call it dead meat.
It's not dead meat in the dog meat. Dog meat, yeah, I believe.
Dog meat. Okay.
Yeah, dog meat, D-O-G meat. But I get what you're saying. They actually have a name for it. I know.
Yeah. And this one they don't have a name for him yet.
So Michael Emerson is the actor that plays Dr. Wilson, right? Now he always survives essentially two episodes. Did we even see him in episode one?
We don't see him in the first episode.
No, we always see him in episode two. He does a great job though. It is one episode, right? And I've seen that actor before as a bit actor and other stuff. I have.
Yeah, he was in TV
show. He's been on TV, movies. I've seen him play a couple of side characters. So it's really cute. You know, he's doing his experiments. He saves the dog. You can tell he's trying to save the dog, right? He doesn't want the dog. Like, you can figure out. Like, he doesn't want anything to happen to the dog.
Yeah.
He finds this, like, you know, little hideout spot for the dog behind the wall.
Behind the wall,
shit, right? And the dog's just very adorable. And essentially, you know, we see him, it's, they don't really explain much with it. It's Saul just, you know, taking it in, but he's working on this like project that's in the cylinder. Right. And he injects it into his neck, which seems to be like very painful. Right. And whatnot, I guess sort of to like protect it almost, you know, and when somebody from the Enclave comes and attacks him, and I guess because he, you know, something with his work, maybe something with
he saw the dog,
the device, the dog, whatever.
Well,
it was.
He saw the dog. That's what it was.
Oh, okay, the dog.
Because the dog was hiding in the cave.
Yeah, that's why he was hiding them. All right, so he sees the dog, and he goes, and he kind of attacks Wilzig. When he does that, basically the dog comes out and rips the dude's throat out. Right.
Yeah. The dog just eats him.
Yeah, he rips his throat out.
Yeah.
So right there, Wilzig has to take the dog, and they got to bounce. Right. So they go on the run. So that's Wilzig's start right there. He goes on the run. Right. Leaves the Enclave. Packs his shit, right? And we get a great scene where we have one of the auto turrets, like the bot turrets and whatnot for the games.
Yes.
Right before they cut, right? That shoot at him and whatnot. So we go right off that, off Wilzig, you know, taking off the dog with the auto turret, over to Lucy, the main character, Ella Purnell, right? Who I love. Absolutely wonderful. And I'll have a question for you in just a minute, Ella. So yeah. And again, great music that they have. It's Bing Crosby and the Andrew Sisters, Don't Fence Me In, when she's like basically in that desert area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Very well shot. It looked great. I don't know where that is, where that was, but.
That's Santa Monica Beach.
Oh, is that where that was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, it was very beautiful. So love the music, connecting it, again, with the landscapes, with the shots, right? The post-apocalyptic look. Right,
oh, yes.
To the landscape, it really works. And you know, she finds an abandoned home. There's like skeletons in it and shit, whatnot. They have some bottle like from Voltech type made shit, Voltech, or whatever, whatnot.
Poison. Yeah,
poison. It's like cyanide or whatever, whatnot. Yeah. Right, which comes in later. She like goes out like out in the dark, takes her Pip-Boy off, sets a fire, and just starts chilling. And goes to lay down and go to sleep. And she wakes up to like growling. Right, and it's dog meat, our version of dog meat. It's Wilzig's dog.
Yep.
Wilzig pops up, and he's a little bit eerie in this scene. Basically, he explains the whole like evolution of the rad roach, as the dog like kills a rad roach that was I guess going to attack Lucy, right? Because they're huge.
Yeah, roaches.
Yeah,
he said that. What was the quote? He said roaches. They said that roaches would survive a nuclear war, and actually they evolved. And
they didn't just survive. No, they evolved to where, like, literally now they're, like, actual apex-type predator. Yep. Motherfuckers are huge. And, you know, they have teeth and all this shit now and everything. So he explains this whole cockroach deal. It's actually very interesting. And, you know, basically says, you know, you should know better to light fire after dark, right, from jump, you know, and tells her to go home. You know, like, he can tell what's going on with her pretty quickly once he views her in, takes her in. You know, he's like, you won't do what it takes to survive out here, mm-hmm. which I thought was great writing, you know, really great writing. Like, you have to adapt, he tells her, you know, yeah, very direct.
She comes from a place of rules and laws.
Yes, right? Very good writing, right? So, you know, we find out, you know, essentially, you know, right off the bat from Wilzig, right, that, you know, vault dwellers don't survive well in the real outside world, right? It's just not a good fit for them. So I'll stop there before we switch over to Maximus, the third, you know, the second leg of our trio of main characters. And I'll go to you, Alan. What were your thoughts on what I just broke down for you there and whatnot, you know, the two scenes, the scene with that great opening scene with Wilzig and the dog, and then Ella Purnell portraying Lucy, you know, basically trying to navigate the wastelands, right? To try to find somebody to help her find her dad.
Yeah, it was well the scene with the dog, and actually it sucked you in, you know, because you're like, all right, this is where the dog comes from, this is where, you know, and you really don't know what the deal with the scientist is or anything, but you, like in my case, because of the game, I was more interested in the dog. All right, this is where the dog comes from. Now I don't, you know. And then when it switched to with Lucy, of course, yeah, like you said, the music just kicked, you know, get you in the mood for it. And when they switched to Lucy, I like how they did it in the TV show compared to the game. In the game, it's kind of grayish. In the TV, you know, you can see the sun, and obviously that's how you know it was Santa Monica, because you can see the Ferris wheel.
Everything's very illuminated.
Yes. And they did. I mean, yeah, they did a good job when it came to that. You know, she, they basically, you don't know what she's getting into, and they made her innocent, and that's the way it should be, because she's, you know, she's lived in the vault. She has no idea. You know, she didn't know about Vault Tech, you know, cyanide medicine.
Oh no, she don't know shit.
Yeah, she don't know none of that. She
that's why vault dwellers don't do well with that in that environment, yeah. Right?
And it's eerie because you can tell that this family took the cyanide or whatever that was, the poison, to kill themselves and their children. You know, you can, if you look at it, it's like, that's what happened. You know, they killed them. They were just sitting there on the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If you couldn't read the label of that Voltec bottle from the jump, you figure it out by the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
they do a really good job with that because a lot of people probably watched it at first. If they didn't rewind, I guarantee you, they probably maybe couldn't make out what it said on that label. I couldn't at first.
Yeah, it was, you know, and you can tell that when she looks, and then they bring out the panoramic and just show when the family's sitting there on the table, you're like, oh shit, you know, this family took this shit.
Man. They fooled me. I didn't know until the end.
Oh really? It was
kind of that's too quick for me. I can't see that well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was watching.
Well, no, I didn't know what it was, but it was poison. I mean, you could tell it said poison on it.
All I saw was Voltec.
Oh really? Yeah. No,
in my outline, you could see I wrote it down that it was maybe meds or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was Voltec poison.
That's, I didn't know. I thought it was meds or like something like that, or stims or some shit. Who the fuck knows, right? From the game, right?
Yep. And it was kind of cool the way they made it. Is she's supposed to be naive, but she's not naive enough that she knows that these people killed themselves in that house, and she did not sleep in it. She decided to go outside, stay outside.
She don't know what the fuck happened in that house. That's the thing. She don't know what's going on with anything.
She don't know. And plus, and the roaches, she don't know about the roaches.
No, of course she'd have no idea. No one in the vault would actually have that, would have any way or experience to be able to actually even give her tips or advice.
Yeah,
right?
Well, nobody knows about what the roach is or nothing.
Well, that's why everyone, as we like see later on in the episode, we see how people actually react to vault dwellers, right?
Yeah.
You know, and like literally like how shocked people are to even see them. You know what I'm saying?
But the vault people were the rich people, you know.
Essentially, yes. And we'll get into that later in the episode.
We'll get into
that becomes prominent when we get to Philly, right?
Yeah, that becomes, but as of right now, it's more showing what she was doing and her part, just basically navigating the desert.
It's only common sense that like even from the games and from episode one that you would know if you had any logic that it would have been the rich people that would have been in the vaults, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they show you that right up.
They
show
you that in the first episode, the first.
Yeah, they do something that kind of goes in that direction to connect it, right? It's really well done. This is very well structured. You know, if you know that it's Jonathan Nolan, right? Christopher Nolan's brother that directed this.
Right? I was not aware of that. No.
Yeah. No, he's the one that I didn't watch it, but I heard it was really good, at least the first season or two. Westworld. He's the one that.
Westworld. Yeah. Westworld was.
Yeah. Good. He wrote and directed Westworld. Yes. I heard it was good, but then at the same time, a few people on YouTube, like The Critical Drinker, had said that, like, after the first season or two, it tanked.
Yeah. I would agree. But by the time the halfway through the second season, it was like, all right, where are you going with this? And they never did anything.
I knew what the premise of it was years ago when it first came out. Whatnot, it seemed very interesting. You know how much I like sci-fi and shit like that and whatnot. And you know, at least once I mentioned to you how much I respect HBO Studios and the TV series they produce. You know what I'm saying? If we haven't talked about that before, you already know. You know how well HBO knows what they're doing when it comes to making series.
Yes.
Like it or hate it with the shit they make, right? It's always good and of like high quality. So what do you think? This is kind of a last question, you know, with to throw at you about Lucy. I feel like Ella Purnell portraying that character is really just a lot more alive on screen anytime that she's actually with other people, right? When she's alone, right? Just roaming the wilderness almost.
Yeah.
You know, it's still interesting, right? But she's really good. Like really sells the character with people.
Yes. Oh yeah. 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 She sold the character like with people from the first episode, you know?
Oh yeah. No, you know, she's really good with her vocalization and her dialogue.
Well, and the way she portrays the character, or the way she acts, the way she's selling it, is you can see her just talking to all these strangers, and the strangers are like, get away from me, and still have a conversation with her.
Yep. She has that quirky idealism or whatever, yes, whatnot about her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. To answer that question, yes.
They did a really good job casting her. I don't know. I'll look in a minute to see who cast this show, but they did a really good job with Goggins and everything and whatnot.
Oh,
and
yeah. Goggins. All that.
I mean, I've only seen 2 episodes. We'll see what happens across the whole span of it and, like, with all the secondary characters we come across and whatnot. But so far, I'm liking everything I'm seeing with the casting. Yeah. And that Ella Purnell girl, I don't know who else was in the running. I'm sure there must have been a couple other actresses that probably were looked at, right, to play that character.
I would think so.
She is essentially, I believe, what you'd almost want to say, you've seen more than me, but she is the main focus character. Even though it's supposed to be the three of them, it is her.
Because it's Vault-Tec. Fallout is, you know, it's all about Vault-Tec. You know, that's what it's all about. So she represents Vault-Tec.
Most definitely.
You know.
No, she's the definition of the games, right? Essentially, yes, right?
Yeah. The Pip and Fallout Shelter, when you play the one on the phone and all that, that's Fallout Shelter. That's what it is. Fallout Shelter is what she's doing. You go out in the wilderness. And
that's where it gets interesting, as you know, thinking about the general audience factor of watching this show. Take the games away with people, right? You know, how are they taking this in? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like how is she? It's the game. The play the games influences you so much more, right? With how you look at the show.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to get deep here, but it does.
It makes a difference. But I think the way it's written, you don't even have to know anything about the game, and you know this is a good series.
It's just something I ponder to myself, right? Like, if I didn't have this knowledge, right, how would I do this? You know what I mean? Like, what would I, you know, how would I take this in then?
Yeah.
You know, just trying to put myself in the general audience's shoes, you know?
It's something everybody can identify, you know?
So, I think it's important.
And I was in a nuclear shelter, and I got out.
If you're going to be somebody that's in content creation that covers a lot of nerd, geek, fandom type of material like we do, right? You know that. Mm-hmm. It's important, I think, to, like, you know, go outside that box. And it's other creators mostly that have taught, you know, brought this up to me and taught me this, right? So I got to give props to them. You know, more experienced veteran creators that cover more like general pop culture, entertainment news, fandom type news, like, not like us. That, like, you know, you have to really go outside that box sometimes and leave the MCU fan shit aside. Right, and view stuff a little bit here and there from that general audience standpoint. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
I think Ella Purnell, I think you'd agree, with her portrayal of Lucy, is really killing it in that area.
Yeah, it's good casting. Good casting.
Yeah, most definitely. It'd be interesting down the road. I'll look it up and see. Usually across the span of time, you know, whether they drop a series all in one shot with the episodes or over time and over weeks, it's over time where they start to, like, information comes out about who else was considered for lead characters and things like that. And whatnot. You don't find out immediately, right? What if, you know what I'm saying?
No, you really don't.
Down the road, we'll probably hear some.
They don't want you to know at the beginning, because then, you know, they want you to like the character and then figure out, oh, well, she competed against this person. Yeah, it makes sense why she got it. You know,
well, this show obviously is going to do a lot for her career without question. Mm-hmm. So basically, coming off of you know, where we ended off at, right, with Lucy, you know, and Wilzig, right, we end up with Maximus, right, the third, you know, member of the Ghoul, right, Lucy, you know, Maximus trio, sort of like, you know, the three heads almost of the series so far, at least to me, our main characters. So we go to Maximus. Right, in what I believe is called, what are they called, Viper Birds or whatever, what that, those ship, those planes? I think they're called Viper Birds.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention.
Well, either way, he's with fucking Titus as the knight, right? And this dude, Titus, Michael Rapaport is playing him.
Yes.
Right? He is a fucking cunt, right?
Oh, like, yes.
Oh my God, he's a cunt, right? And, like, from jump. Like, you know, like when Maximus tries to say some, like, totally innocent shit to him, ask him a question, he, like, throws some shit at him and tells him to clean it or whatever, whatnot, with that whole digitized automated voice.
Oh, yeah,
shit,
yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's like, land this thing. I've got to kill something or some shit, whatever, whatnot. Total asshole, right? Complete jerk off. And so we see the bag that Maximus has to carry, It's bigger than fucking him, which I thought was hilarious, yeah. Right? Like, it's good humor, right? I mean, it's not laugh out loud, but it's there, right? Quasi like the games, you know what I mean? Whatnot, yeah, you know, yeah, they get it in there. And I'm sure for, you know, depending on your level of sense of humor, maybe some of that is more funny than others, right? But it is funny seeing the bag that he's got to carry. Yes. You know, and basically we get a lot of jumping back and forth in this part of the episode where we're switching from characters to characters. We get over to Wilsing again and the dog. They stop to rest. This becomes important later on with Maximus and Titus, right? The dog comes back to the spot where they're at with a fresh human hand, which is never good for these two cave-looking fucking deals or whatnot, right? Wilsing looks over at that shit and is like, oh, fuck, right? Yeah. I better get out of here. And, you know, so they take off, right? And this is all really good setting up, like great pacing and again, direction of the episode, right? And storytelling that they connect all this stuff by the end, these different scenes, right? End up being important in other scenes and all this. Because if you think of yourself in the audience, why did they even have this scene with Wilsing? What did this really accomplish, right? You know, a little bit. So we go back to Maximus and Titus, the fucking cunt. And, you know, basically, Maximus is dying and shit with that fucking bag, right? Trying to fucking walk around that bag with Titus, the jerk, and hating life. And Max tells Titus he sees evidence, right, of the doctor guy and the dog right there in the fucking ground. And Titus is such a prick. He don't even care, right? He's more fucking concerned. Yeah, he's some more concerned about going to them fucking, like, really scary, dark fucking cave-looking, like, holes and shit. Goes right up to him and shit. They get in there, right? And it's Aaron Moten who actually is the actor that plays Maximus. But they go in there, and he wants fucking Maximus to go fucking first into the fucking darkness of the cave and shit.
Yeah,
and
he's a chicken.
To find out whatever the fuck is in there. The dude doesn't even have power armor on. Or like any fucking gear or like anything to fucking defend himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one wearing the armor. Come on now.
Yeah, so he goes out there. He goes in there. And turns around and looks, and whatever the fuck those mutated bear fucking creatures are, or whatever, whatever they're called, pop one of those fuckers pops out. I'll look it up in a minute. But one of those fuckers pops out, looks awesome, and fights Titus and shit and whatnot, and kicks his fucking ass.
Yeah,
right?
Yo guy, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, yo guy, yeah. Yep. Fucking yo guy comes out, right? One of like the second or third hardest fucking things to fight in the game, right?
Yeah, like a mutated black bear.
Yep, they're fucking huge. And kicks Titus's ass. Titus runs like a little bitch in his power armor. The fucking bear kicks his ass some more on the ground. And finally, all of a sudden, Max shows up and with two shots from his fucking pistol, takes out this fucking, like, mutated bear creature, which is a little bit – that was a little bit weird that he was able to take him out like that.
Well, he shot him in the head.
Yeah, in the game, though, you know, I'm not trying to go
there. No, in the game, it ain't that easy.
Nah, you can shoot that a lot of times. They don't go down. But it was cool. It was still cool because right after that, Titus is all fucked up. He just, you know, Max has saved his life and Titus is still bitching, right? Like, no joke. He's still talking shit. He's like, get me a stim pack, you motherfucker, you know, and blames fucking Maximus for all the shit, right? And says you're going to die and all this shit, whatnot, threatens him, laughs at him and shit, whatnot. Like, what a fucking prick. And what a shock. Guess what happens? Maximus is one cold motherfucker because he decides to sit there and not even do shit and let the motherfucker just die. Right? Well, he does.
Well, I don't know if it was cold or more because you remember it went to the flashbacks that when he saw the armor when he was a kid, to him, the arm, it was like, it was something special, not a motherfucker like this guy just.
Let me say he's cold. He's a cold dude. Like,
he's cold.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's cold. He's a cold dude. What he knew was because, like, again, he the honor of the armor and everything and whatnot. He believes in it. He does. He believes in the principles of the Brotherhood of Steel and all that shit. Uh-oh. I just went dark.
Well, you're still here. I mean, I can hear you.
I still got audio, folks. There you go. And look at that. I've got an emoji where I'm actually female, too. So isn't that cool? That's always good, right? That's good representation.
There you go.
Hey, there you go, folks. Hey, look at that, folks. I'm changing it up now. This is the new shit now. Instead of an actual green screen with an image on, you just go with the green screen. There you go. Anyways, that's interesting. Thank you, MacBook Pro, for doing that to me. Anyways, so bottom line, you know, where we end up at, right, is Maximus not giving him the stim packs and shit and whatnot and letting him just die so he can take the armor.
Yeah, that's essentially,
you know, it happens quick. Like, they don't even fuck around with it. It happens quick. We bounce right off that, and he tells him, Maximus says, you don't deserve that armor, right? Which I thought was, again, really good writing. Good scene. So again, we move on, you know, with Maximus letting him die to Lucy, right? With some funny-ass dude looking for some water, right? Like, or some shit. She walks up to, and she wants some directions, and he's walking around with some, like cloth thong shit going on or whatnot, like tidy whitey looking underwear all rolled up on his ass.
That's right.
Oh shit, I was frozen there for a minute. Sorry about that, folks. I might have to go back. I might actually have to go inside and go by the studio here in a minute, Alan. My setup here out in the garage, my MacBook seems to be fucking up right now. If I'm gonna have problems, I'd rather just go ahead and shift over. And just play a trailer or a video clip or whatever, whatnot, and move inside. Let me finish up where we were at, so I can at least let you talk. So we go to Lucy with this dude. Shit is funny as hell, right? Motherfucker is dirty as shit, right? She gives him her water to like sip some water. Dude drinks the whole shit, right? Drinks her whole fucking bottle of water and shit, and he tells her, right, like, hey. When somebody gives you a bottle of fresh water here or whatever, whatnot, you just drink it, right? Like all of it, whatever, whatnot. And, you know, he sort of gives her directions by telling her, well, are you going to Philly? He's like, I've never been there over the hill to Philly. She's like, no. He's like, no, everyone who goes there just gets killed. My brother, my fucking girlfriend, my sister, my father, whatever, whatnot. They all went over the hill and they all got killed. So it's funny as shit. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to go. He's like, well, why don't you just stay here and be with me and all this shit, whatnot, all this bullshit, right? I'm dying and all this shit. It wouldn't even be that long. Shit is hilarious, bro. I swear to God. Funny as shit, right, with Lucy. She's like, okay, yeah. Talk to you later. See ya.
Yep.
Have a nice day. And so we get Max putting on the T-60 power armor for the first time, right? Acting like a little kid. Going to pool and shit, and whatnot, jumping out around with it and shit, breaking shit, throwing shit. He goes and saves some dude's life trying to be all fucking hardcore knight and shit. And it turns out that the dude that like was attacking the dude, that he's been like crushing his head and shit and whatnot, right? The dude's whose life he just saved was fucking the dude's chickens.
Yes.
The guy's like literally like, don't kill me, sir. But that man was fucking my chickens.
Yeah. Chicken what bird.
The? Yo, that shit's hilarious, bro. Fucking chickens, bro. And so, I mean, like, talk about getting clowned. Maximus gets clowned, right? He looks like a fucking clown right there. Legit. And it's so funny. He finishes off and he's like, okay, have a good day, citizen, to the fucking guy, right? That he just fucking, like, half beat him to death and shit and whatnot just because he's pretending his chickens from getting fucked. So, all right, I'll stop there. I'm going to go inside and switch laptops, Alan. But give me your thoughts real quick and whatnot and everything. I'll just let you talk for a minute and whatnot. Why yeah, switch?
I mean, the
have at it.
I like how they went from one side of the story to the other side of the story. Like in her case. Her case, when they showed like the scene with her, was kind of like in the game. You know, you go to the game, you meet somebody. You know, you may lose a little bit on it, but you get information because by her giving her the water, she found out about the town, you know. So it helped her. It helped him. It helped her out to figure out which way to go. And plus, you know, it gives us a figure out for us how to, you know, the next step. And then that actually going out of that scene, then going into the other scene with Maximus, you know, and he's learning how to use the armor, you know, the chicken fucker, you know, that I thought the chicken fucker was funny because it brings like old South Park memory, but you know, it's kind of cool because the way they do with the armor is the same way when you first get your armor in the game, you don't know what you're doing. And so it was kind of cool. It was I don't think Jeff's here, so I'm just talking. Hey, hello, people. But I think with the when they did the scene with her, they did a good job. They did, because that series of episode or whatever they had, whatever they call it, felt like the game. You know, it was like she had to help this guy out so she could figure out where the town is. Plus, then you realize how the people out there, you know, there are people out there besides the vault people and the people in the towns. You know, there's people living out in the desert, you know, just trying to survive. You know, everybody's trying to survive, just like, you know, the other dude's basically trying to survive, and he had to deal with a chicken fucker. And
what's up, chicken fucker?
Yeah, chicken fucker.
Hey, I'm about to flip over with that. Hey, folks, listen, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, but Alan, I'm about to flip over to my other laptop.
Yeah,
just real quick with that. Everything, give us a break, folks. I'm just going to go ahead and play a video real quick and whatnot. Everything, just give us a second. Only take a minute, and we'll get right back into Fallout episode 2.
Minute and a half,
you know. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I watched Clone Wars, but I mean, I fell asleep a couple times at night on an episode here or there. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, so that's why you call him Huang instead of Huang, like everyone else.
Hey, listen, I've caught up hella on Star Wars. Like, compared to where my knowledge was at, like 6 months ago, compared to where I'm at now, I'm way beyond anywhere I was ever at. So, like, I'm quite proud of my Star Wars. Like, I'm selling people on Star Wars now, on my own. With my Huang shit.
Huang, Huang.
I'm probably gonna get like a strike from YouTube for like a racial slur now or some shit like that.
Check.
Yeah.
Huang.
All right. So how do I pronounce it again, Jasmine? Is it am I sounding it? Is it Huang?
Does the android have a nickname? Like, it could be easy for us to say this.
Wang.
We're going to take off.
Some of them going to bomb.
Just like they've bombed in the comics.
What about this guy? You think this guy can make it for the Avengers?
Diamond A's and Ninja Teaching Flakes. I didn't let me say the sign. Come on in here, Ninja. This here's my Ninja Ada. Diamond A's Ninja School. Come on down. What we're going to teach you our whole day, Lord, and what we're going to teach you in our first episode is a proper stance and a proper kung fu. And you got your judo chop, all right? You got your karate chop, and you got your ninja chop. Now, what smart thing to do. It's like when you use a judo chopping, you gotta say it, you know, for you beginners, you know, like a judo chop. Because what you don't want to do is like be a judo chopping and a kung fu kicking, and there goes your leg. You know, that ain't much hauling for a one-legged ninja out there. That third, hard as a rock, buddy, let me show you something. Mel had last time, baby, don't put it in front of your face. I don't want to hurt you. But you got me?
There you go, baby. Judy chop.
You Judy chop.
Judy chop, baby. All right, folks. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties are over. I just had to switch locations real quick and whatnot, everything. My old MacBook Pro, unfortunately, blessed soul, I guess, is getting so old and whatnot, everything out there in the garage in the heat is probably not the best place to have it. And so I don't know. It's days of trying to do live streams on it are becoming obsolete, it's looking like. But either way, I'm back. Alan, thanks for hanging in there for a minute, whatnot, solo. I appreciate you holding it down for me.
Yeah, man.
Did you have a chance to actually flush out what you wanted to say about that section of the episode and whatnot, everything?
Yeah, actually, I ran out of stuff.
Oh, no problem. All I really wanted to mention was simply just that I really thought that the scene with Lucy and the, again, good casting, great job. You know, good, I don't know if I would lend too much with the casting, but just a good job with the secondary character there, throwing them in, having a wastelander there, whatnot, everything with kind of like that, add some humor, right? Get the chicken fucker dude, right, and all that, and whatnot. He's funny too. He is very funny, and we see him again later, right? He's funny.
Yes,
too.
We did.
And so there's some good humor in this episode. There wasn't much, you know, there was some in episode one, too, but not very much. Mm-hmm. This one, there was more of it, I thought. You know, which is good. It's nice to see that, like, appearing here and there and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Like I was saying, I don't know if you heard what I was saying. It was that segment was like the game. You know, when you go and meet an NPC, you know, it's like you have to give stuff. You have to lose to get information. And by her giving him the water, she found out about the town.
There you go.
You know, it so that was basically the
only thing that they added that wasn't from the games was fucking chickens.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I saw a chicken in the game.
No, I don't remember seeing any chickens in
there. Nah. No, they didn't go that far, unfortunately, with the humor with Fallout that I ever saw. But a good chicken fucker joke is always good. Yes. You know, you guys see it once in a while, you know, somebody using it. It's always a winner, you know, always funny. Can't go wrong with it. So, nope. You know, and good scene. And I like the actor that plays Maximus. I do. I don't know how old he is. He looks young. Just like Ella Purnell, I know she's not super young, but she looks young, you know, like she's at least like, she can't be anything older than like 32.
Yeah.
If I had to guess,
yeah,
I can't see how she is. And him, I can't see him being any older than 32 or 30, 33 years old.
Yeah.
If that, right. You can't tell really, you know, we'll see.
You can't tell. And you know, it's based on, you know, the shit that's going on. Like in her case, I don't think she wasn't young enough. And I don't know how old she's supposed to be in the game.
Be young. It says that. If you look at the Wikipedia,
yeah,
literally like underneath the Wikipedia by her character bio, she like they define her as being young Lucy, right, from Vault 33. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. See, a young Vault dweller. They say that literally on the wiki, right? So she's supposed to be young. In real life, I'll look her up in just a minute and see how old she actually is. You probably want to know now, huh?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I don't blame you. It only takes a second to find it.
But, you know, but to see, even though she's supposed to be a young vault dweller, she's not really that young in the sense that, see, at the beginning, they actually said her, all the years that she would have been because, you know, her cousin was trying to marry her and she said it for years. And she probably they probably said it somewhere, give you some idea, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't take away or add to the character, you know, whether she's old or young.
Okay, here she is. I got her. Here is her IMDb. All right, so she is born in London, okay, in the UK. Best known for her roles in Tim Burton's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which I already knew that. From Starz Sweet Bitter. So let's see here. Blah blah blah. They don't have her fucking age here? The fuck? Come on, IMDb, don't let me down like that. Got her credits and shit and whatnot, everything. Let's see. But they show her vegan stuff going all the way back to like the mid 2000, you know, teens or whatever, whatnot. How old is Ella Purnell? Why the fuck would they have that shit right on IMDb, bro?
Yeah.
That's stupid. Nah, I should have looked that up. Anyways, so.
She's 27.
Is she 27? You got it?
Yeah.
All right, 27. Okay, so I wasn't that far off. I said, I didn't think she was 32. I said, she could be 32.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I meant. I figured she was probably actually like 25, 26, 27 years old. That's a good age to be if you're going to be an actress.
Yes.
That is young, I would say, in the game, you know. But basically, so to get back into the episode, after we get done with the chicken fucking shit and everything, and they have a good day citizenship for Max, we go to Lucy, you know, checking through some surprisingly green, like healthy looking, like forest or whatnot on her way to Philly, right?
Yeah.
Which was interesting to see, you know, because you don't see much of that in the games, really, except for like in some of the vaults or whatnot where they have growth.
Well, I think in Vegas they had in Fallout Vegas.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's been a minute since I've played it.
So. You know, like, they're going to make changes for when you adopt the stuff into cinema or like into TV, right?
Yeah.
It's just how you do it. She just starts meeting people and shit and whatnot, right? And nobody will even like address her. They won't even like stop and even like say hello to her and whatnot and all that because he's wearing around with her Volt outfit on and all that, right? And like, you know, she don't know what's going on, but like Volt dwellers are basically viewed as like fucking assholes, you know? Like complete, like, you know, as she's about to find out here in a minute. When she goes to fucking, you know, to Philly, it's like, you know, this whole new world to her and all that shit and whatnot. It's really done real well. We get some really good throw-ins from the game. We get Iguana on the stick from some dude, right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we then see a Brahmin, right? A two-headed Brahmin walk by. You know, the city looks just like Megaton or whatever the fuck. What's it called? The city in Fallout 3 that you go to. It looks just like it.
Yes. Yes, it does. I don't remember the name of it, and I thought it was familiar, and I didn't know until you just mentioned that.
It looks just like it. Yes. Yeah, it's modeled after that city almost. If you really look at it, right? Like it's built similarly. You know, that main city that you first start off at.
Yes.
You know? That becomes like your initial hub, right? I'm seeing a lot of YouTubers and whatnot, everything that I'm watching their reviews and their series reviews and episode reviews and recaps saying that like watching this is making them want to go back and play the games a lot. I've heard a lot of them say that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously it's good for the games. So she's taken in the city and everything, right? And, now we finally see the ghoul posted up. Right, he's there, like, of course, you know, waiting, knowing that probably that, you know, this is where Wilzig would show up, right, or whatever, whatnot, you know. He's posted up, being a badass and shit, out for the bounty, and Lucy goes into a shop, and we get another really funny scene with another, you know, kind of secondary character, and she's asking this old woman that's a shopkeeper about her selling illegal Vault Tech shit, everything going on, you know, and trying to, like, give her a whole spiel about fucking like, you know, the whole Volt, you know, ideology bullshit, idealism or whatever, whatnot, of like, you know, saving the world and all this shit and everything. And the woman's like, you know what everyone thinks about you? Fuck the Volts or whatever. Bunch of rich people that fucking, you know, all this shit, right? Yeah. She's like, oh, you got all your fingers, right? You look all clean, got all your teeth. And, basically Lucy sort of realizes that her idealism at that point really kind of hits her home that maybe she started to be a little bit more skeptical about like her sort of worldview a little bit, right? You know, like that maybe she is being a little bit too naive. Basically we get, I love how the writing and her character, the way she talks about certain stuff, like, I know you're selling illegal shit, but like yada yada yada, it's all like, you know, charming and like witty and like funny and, you know what I mean, like it's great.
Yeah.
Right. The delivery, right? Ella Purnell really like really spits fire with that shit. She's really good. Her whole character, like, you know, when she talks to people that are actually from the wasteland, just her whole deal is fucking hilarious. It really is. So you know, we see Wilzig again, you know, and with the dog. And he, you know, he sees Lucy and tells her again to go home. She isn't safe here, right? And he knows that she's from Vault 33. You know, like we start to get some, you know, some shit where like he actually shows that he knows some shit about her. Wilson knows all about her, said the Vaults, by like the tail and shit and whatnot and everything. And that kind of really throws Lucy off. The ghoul enters the picture, mentions a bounty on Wilzig, and that he's there to take it. And we find out really quick and whatnot from the old bitch that it looks like ghouls aren't too well fucking like, you know, liked either. Just like Vault Dwellers, right? Because she's like, you're kind of aren't like, you know, aren't liked here or whatever, whatnot, right? It turns out that the asshole, you know, like old woman shopkeeper bitch, right, actually is the one that like is going to harbor or whatever, whatnot, you know, Wilzig, you know? And so the ghoul starts fighting and going after Wilzig, shoots his fucking foot off, right? The old woman is fighting at him, and like it throws it out that like she'll throw 1,000 fucking bottle caps at any dude that kills the ghoul. So all the dudes come out of nowhere to start shooting at the ghoul. He's got that pistol that can actually put holes in dudes and shit and people, right? Yep.
There's a really funny scene where he sits down next to a dude that's dying that he just shot. Everything and he's talking to him and shit. Yeah. And as the ghoul.
Yeah, the guy's really like, funny, coming out of his throat. Yeah, he's
just, you got a hole in your fucking shit or whatever, you know, like or whatever. Hilarious. Very hilarious. Really good humor during like a fight scene, right? We get some guns from the games. We see a guy shooting the rifle, right? That one rifle that you know had the slide, right?
Yeah, the slide on it. Yeah,
he shoots at the ghoul, right? He has the rifle. I think the woman has like a carbine or something, doesn't she? Like from the game?
Yes. Yeah, she's got a carbine.
Does she have a carbine? That's what I thought, right? Those are nice. Those are really cool guns, the carbines. I don't know a lot about them, but I've always liked them in general. And then the pistol that the ghoul has is extremely powerful. I don't really remember anything from the game that resembles that pistol.
No.
No. Because it has those big bullets.
Yes.
Like belts and all that shit and whatnot, right? Like, you know, but either way, like we see him take bullet shots and whatnot, everything, right? So obviously we see that like, you know, ghouls can get shot, right? And everything, they don't die and shit and all that, because he gets shot a bunch of times, right? And basically, just to be clear, the way that they're displaying ghouls in the series is one where they don't necessarily need to eat. Right, like, or like, you know, certain things that human beings need to do to survive, but to stop them from becoming feral ghouls, it's necessary to have like meds, like, you know, like, you know, certain, like, you know, yes, like shit, and that's what was in those bags that were being fed underground to the ghoul, right? In episode one, yes, was whatever he needs to take in order to, like, you know, fight off the feral ghoul. Right, eventuality that does happen to all, like basically in the game, to all ghouls, you know, at some point they become feral. So that's what the deal is with that. Although we do see him eat, right? So we know that ghouls can eat because he eats those cherry tomatoes or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So he can eat.
And they offered him a chicken in the first one.
Yeah. So he can eat. So I thought that was interesting. We're learning more about the ghoul right there, you know. So, and we get the dog going after the ghoul. The ghoul stabs the dog, right? Which is actually pretty sad, but it happens pretty quick. Lucy goes into the shop and grabs a gun and comes out and tosses a bunch of shit funny ass shit to the fucking the ghoul, right? About like how she's gonna defend wolves, they get all this shit and whatnot, and she don't like his shit in her own little talk. And right, it's funny as hell. And then all of a sudden fucking Maximus drops in. And like power drops in with the fucking the T-60 power armor, right?
Yeah.
To like, you know, come in and like peacekeeping shit, and him and the ghoul go after it, and Maximus takes some bullets for Lucy, right? And they have like some instant chemistry when they have a scene there where they talk a little bit, and she's like hi to him or whatever, you know, like all bubbly and shit and whatnot. They had really good chemistry. Did you notice that? I thought,
yes,
like off screen, like at least they made it seem like they did. You know, like, because they connected really well, I thought, when they had dialogue together. You can really see that they'll be great together, like, later on in the show. He takes the bullets for Lucy. You know, him and the ghoul kind of go after it. And essentially, the ghoul, it turns out, knows more about the fucking armor than Maximus does.
Yes.
And kind of, like, you know, kicks Maximus's ass and sends him flying and shit and whatnot, right? The shop owner chick manages to save and, you know, wills they can put this boot on his foot, right? Power boot to let him, like, you know, be able to walk, and charges Lucy, who's looking for, you know, of course, that, you know, what's her name? You know, Moorbender or whatever, whatnot, whatever that woman's name was, from episode one, Holdover, right? You know, tells her that. Basically, if she goes and, like, you know, takes Wilzig, right, across the whatever, the wasteland, that's where he's supposed to go is to Moldover, right? And he can take, she'll be at that, and she needs to be able to have a bargaining chip anyway, even to be able to get in the room with her anyway, right? To try to find her dad.
Yeah, to find her dad. Yep.
So she becomes basically tasked with, you know, essentially taking the injured, you know, Wilzig, to, you know, across the, you know, the wasteland, which she, you know, takes on and goes to do. And then essentially, Wilson just takes cyanide, right? Like, you know, like decides that logically, like the best situation here is
that he took that Vault Tech, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he felt like he was a hindrance to Lucy. He couldn't walk with the boot. He really got fucked up medically by like the ghoul, right? And so he just took the cyanide and was like, here, you have to cut my head off, you know, because what's in my head or whatever, whatnot is important, but you've got to carry it. It'll be easier for you, right? And basically, Lucy says the same shit as she says in episode one. She's like, okay, or whatever, whatnot, okie dokie, and cuts his head off and shit, right? And then somehow the ghoul like heals the dog, and the dog is okay at the end. Which was dope, right? I like that. What did the ghoul do? I missed that part. Did he give him like
he gave him a stim pack? He gave him a stim.
Oh, he gave him a stim pack?
Yep.
Okay, well, that was really cool that the ghoul did that. I like that. Yep. That was a good ending, right?
Yeah, it was kind of cool because it was like, all right, you're a bad guy, but you're not really a bad guy. You kind of saved a dog.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. The ending is that the dog being alive, Lucy cutting off Wilsig's head to like, the, you know, I guess that's what she's going to, the head that she carries around in the trailer that you see, right? Now she's going to have to carry that around. She has no idea what's in it, right? And essentially, right, you know, and we see Chicken Fucker again one time in the
Chili,
right? Yep, he's there. And that's the end of it. And the credits were great. Did you catch that last song with the credits?
Yeah.
And some of the scene, some of the shots they had.
Yeah, the shots they had. Yeah,
oh, that was really good. I really like that. Yeah, really good. If anybody who sticks around for the end credits of Fallout, they play.
You need to stick around for the end credits because you'll. It doesn't give a lot away, but it puts you in the mood for the next episode.
No, you know what? And I'm glad, you know, we ran right through that. I'm glad we did. Like, we slammed right through that episode, you know? Like, obviously, I'm going to throw to you now for your opinions on that whole. Mm-hmm. I know I'm giving you a big chunk, but you've got plenty of time. The floor is yours, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so have at it and just throw out whatever you want to give me. I'll bounce off you. That's almost probably a third plus of the episode right there. I just gave you.
Yeah, and I'll just do, like, small little things that I saw. Basically everything that you said, you know, but I saw, I liked when she was in the shop with the old lady. The old lady was actually, she liked her.
Yeah.
You know, Vault Dweller, and she was so innocent. But when she brought the mold over name, that's when she got pissed.
Yeah, we saw her facial expression.
Yeah, that's when it all changed. That's when she's like, well, you need to get out of here. You know, you're not welcome here. Before that, she was like, oh, this bitch is funny. You know, this is, you know, she's so innocent. The ghoul, when she shot him with the tranquilizer, he knew exactly who she was, where she was from. You know, she's a vault dweller. You know, I mean, he was the one who sold the vaults. You know, that, you know, it was, so he didn't, he could have killed her, because the way they show it is, he was going to shoot her, and then Maximus got in the way and kind of saved her. But I don't know if he was really going to try to kill her, you know, because he was more like, it was more like a nuisance, because, you know, she tranquilized, when she hit him with the tranquilizer, it didn't do nothing to him. You know, he was like, what the hell? The Wizik, you know, what they want is in his head, and I think it's the.
Well, the bounty hunters don't know that. Maximus don't know that, right? But Maximus is trying to get the dude too. So obviously, we know.
Well, yeah, and another thing, and we completely went over it and didn't even pay attention.
No.
It was at the beginning when they did the bounty. It was in Dot Matrix, the picture.
Yeah.
The picture was in Dot Matrix. You know, it was like very old school, you know, because we were talking about the music. You know, it was like the bounty itself, when it printed out, it was, you know, just dots.
Like a pencil written fucking deal.
Yeah, it was like,
very Fallout.
Yes.
Yeah. Very Fallout. And like, you know, nobody really knows why they're looking for this guy. They just know they're looking for
him. Nobody knows.
I sort of skipped over the fact that, of course, Maximus is trying to get together with Lucy, right? You know, from jump, because he wants to get to his target, right? And that's what he wants to do, is bring, he wants to bring Willits back to the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the bounty. They got the bounty too. You see, it seems like everybody had a bounty because that's where the ghoul shows up, and he's like, you know, you're the one with the bounty. And she's like, well, I want to protect him and blah, blah, blah. You know,
Willits even told her people are going to come for you.
Yeah.
He said.
You know, so it was, I kind of like how they did it, that they were all separate. And then before you know it, they're all together in this one town. And then all this shit goes on, all the fighting and the way Ghoul, that was entertaining. And it was humorous at the same time. And I think Maximus not knowing how to control his armor, that was kind of cool because it's a learning process.
It only makes sense. I mean, first time he got in the armor was the first time he'd ever been in it or knew anything. He didn't really know shit about it.
I like how they did that because a lot of times they don't do that in shows. A lot of times the guy just picks it up and hey, I can get it to work. This case, man, he couldn't, you know, he was like the greatest American hero. You know, he had no idea what he was doing with the armor. You know, he knew he could run fast and he can throw shit, but that was about it. And you know, and going back to the, you know, after, you know, they, all that shit, the boot, you know, putting the boot on him and all that, man, that happened so quick. There were so many things happening at once because while they're putting the boot, he's still outside. They're putting the boot on him. They're still fighting outside. So there's two, three things going on at once. And then basically that's when the first time I heard her cuss, you know, when she's like, well, you need to take him to the wasteland. She's like, oh, gosh darn it. You know, so that tells me, all right, she's going to do fine because she's turning. She's actually picking up, you know, she's not being so naive before. And of course, you know, when she cuts the guy's head off, there ain't nothing naive about that. You know, she's as cold-blooded as Maximus is. So,
well, she's learning, like he told her she was going to have to adapt, right?
Yeah, and she's adapting. Yep, yeah, she's adapting, evolving and adapting just like a roach. You know, I mean, she, like you said, you know, she really didn't think twice about it. She was like, if I can go here, I can find my dad. All right, give me the saw. You know, she just looks at it and goes, you know. So it was a good episode.
She has to have that level of capability, right, to make it game like orientated. You know what I'm saying? As a character, she has to. I'm not saying she has to have superpowers, but she does have that ability to adapt and grow, right, from episode to episode, from season to season, as a character, and become stronger. Because in the game, that's what happens to you.
Yeah, and she did, and so far she did. Yeah. She's done it because from the first episode to now, I mean, in the first episode, she could have killed the dude. She had opportunities to kill the dude, you know, the husband, but she didn't know what to do. You know, now she's gotten to the point that, all right, I'll shoot you. Okay, I'll shoot you with the tranquilizer, but she won't think twice about it. I mean, she didn't think twice about shooting the ghoul. And actually didn't think twice about chopping the guy's head off just to find her dad. So, you know, it's like,
well, she didn't like it, but she did it.
Yeah, she don't like it.
She's very goal oriented, and I want to make a correction. Jonathan Nolan is the executive producer of the show. He doesn't direct all the episodes. He directed the first three, and then after the first three, they actually switch up, and there's a new director for episode four, new one for episode five. They have Frederick E. O'Toy come in for episode six and seven from Shogun, right? That I've already seen his work on Shogun, right? They brought him over. He co-directs episode seven with another guy. Then there's another new director on episode eight. So no, I guess Nolan just overall was executive producer, right? But then the writers, they also change from episode to episode. There is no actual general writer that writes the series.
See, that's cool. That's and they're starting to do that. The Mandalorian did that too. You know, Robert
Rodriguez did the same way, right? I mean, they have a couple of groups together. Like the first three episodes are just like how they have Nolan directing. They have the same writers too. It's Geneva Robinson Dworet and Graham Wagner. They write episodes one through three, and then after that, it's like the directing. It all shifts. It's all new writers.
And it makes sense. I mean, like you said at the beginning of the show, you know, I'm a little bit ahead of you. You could tell a difference. And you can tell a difference now that you said that. I can tell a difference. At the time, I really couldn't tell a difference because the storyline kind of, but you can. It's, I suggest everybody watch the third episode and wait for when you come out and talk about it, because it's an excellent.
Oh yeah, most definitely. If you catch this, you know, if you're catching us live on whatever platform or whatever whatnot you're on, and you haven't actually watched Fallout yet, which of course I know there's always people here and there that do come out and probably maybe haven't caught what we've watched or covered, which is, we have a problem with that. All we'd probably tell you would just be that, you know, if you catch this, when this goes into video form or whatever, you know, on YouTube, for instance, check out Fallout off this, I hope, is, you know, I mean, that would be like, I guess, the sort of, you know, I guess, ending mission statement of our recap here, episode two, right, Alan, would be like, yeah. You know, I hope we sold it, you know, to some extent and whatnot, and, you know, at least added some, you know, some pizzazz to, you know, our kind of give of episode two, to where maybe you'll be attracted to want to actually watch the show, because it's definitely worth it. It is really well done, and there's no budget out for it yet, but they definitely put a lot of money into it. You can see it in the cinematography. You can see it in the digital effects. It's very gory. It's very adult, right? Themed. There's a lot of like heavy dark violence, just like the games, right? All the humor is very dark, right? There's sexual tension. You know, like, just a lot of different themes being played out. But why don't we do ratings, Alan? And then we'll close this bitch out and we'll get out of here. It's already almost been an hour and a half, if you can believe it or not. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. Yeah, but
it hasn't been. I mean, it don't seem like it, but yeah.
I know. I couldn't believe that shit. When I looked at the time, I was like, holy shit, really? It hasn't felt like that. It's been like 45 minutes.
Yes.
Anyways, hey, that's not a bad thing, right?
No. No, it's especially if something as entertaining as this, you know, and I'm going to reiterate what you said, and then I'll give you my rating up. Nobody's actually watched this, you know, you need to take time out and watch it.
Oh, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth the hour and 5 minutes. It's only, you know, it's an hour to watch it, you know, then you got the credits. It's worth the hour. And there's no filler in the episode so far. Mm-hmm. And episode one catches you right off the bat anyway, so it sucks you right in. But we'll go like 5 stars instead of 10 on this one. I'm going to give this episode, I can't remember what I gave episode one, but this one is better. Episode two, I think, is better than episode one. I would give this one probably 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. Yeah, I would give it I'm going to give it four and a half, but I'm going to give it 4, and it's not because it wasn't a good episode or anything.
A four isn't bad. It's not a bad
rating. But, you know, a five is like extremely a lot. And 4.5, 4 to 4.5. It's really hard to give it a rating because it was so good.
4.25, brother.
Yeah, normally, yeah. I'm normally 175,
1.25. Especially if you have a 1 through 5, like, you know.
Easily a 4.5. It's, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. It's definitely a very entertaining episode. It sets up episode 3 pretty well, without really giving you and the audience like a very clear direction as to exactly how things are going to go, right? In the next episode, you know, the path isn't completely illuminated in terms of what the current, the future events are going to occur. But overall, the episodes have really good finality to their, you know, to their, you know, individual stories so far, I believe. Alan, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And everything is very complete, right? Like, there should be a completeness at the end of an episode, a good episode of a TV series, right?
Yes.
An individual story is being played across, you know, in front of you. And there should be almost a start and a finish.
Yes.
For me anyway, right?
They do a good job in the, I'm looking, like, you want to, it's not like, oh shit, the episode ends, but it's more like, man, I can't wait to see what they're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be fluidity, don't get me wrong. Even if it's that you drop all 8 episodes in one day, it doesn't matter. You still have to have fluidity in any episodical TV series, right? Mm-hmm. Or like limited series, whatever, whatnot. That's a core, you know, aspect of like television. It doesn't matter what decade you're talking about or whatever, whatnot, right? You know, you have to have some kind of fluidity, whatnot, consistency with what you're delivering, you know?
from episode to episode. Even if, like, you know, maybe during certain times, you know, back in the day, there were certain elements that are used now that weren't there, you know, like connected, you know, historical stuff in series like X-Men Animated did back in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Like three-parters and four-parters and shit like that and whatnot. Not many TV shows have ever really done that. I think it was X-Men Animated that really made that.
Yeah, anime made it.
Made it fashion.
Standard. Yeah, it was a standard on anime.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go through, if they're going to have a fight scene, it's going to be five or six.
Yeah, episodes. Steinfeld used to have like some two-parters and shit like that and whatnot, right? You know, but like that didn't start becoming like more of a heavy thing until later on. You know, down the line, where you'd actually have like consistent, you know, like stories that would play across whole swaths of like a whole season of a show, five or six episodes. That mm-hmm. wasn't a norm for a long time. Everything was sort of like broken down piece by piece, episode by episode. I believe that it's interesting that they dropped all eight episodes in one day. You know, I wonder if when they do season two. They'll do the same thing.
I lost him there for a second. Well, actually,
can you hear me?
For a second there, I lost
him. Oh, well, all I was gonna say was they dropped all the episodes for season one in one day. I wonder what they'll do with season two, if they'll change that, you know, and actually drop it episodically week by week, right? You know, and stretch it out to try to capitalize right on the audience numbers and whatnot and everything was.
Well, it's Amazon, so it's hard to say because Prime really don't – their streaming service is part of their their shipping service. So I guess for them, the ratings may not be as important as it is for all the other ones, you know. And even – and I mean, they dropped them all at one time. But if you're going to watch something and you're going to watch it good, you know, you can't run through eight episodes in one day. You know, it's just – you're going to miss so much.
Marvel did. I've seen the YouTubers that did it. You know what I'm saying with that, right? Like, you should have saw those reviews come out, like, and like season recaps and whatnot that came out like literally within hours, or like, you know, like
yeah. But I bet you when you watch your shit, you're gonna be like, man, they miss so much, because I mean, you actually have to, like in my case, I mean, I watch an episode, and I just watch that one episode, and I let it sit for me for a couple of days. And I think about the episode and be like, all right, cool. And
then,
you know, because you really want to absorb what, you know, because they do a lot of background. And
that's why we love doing everything the way we do it and whatnot, and keep everything weekly episodical, right? No matter how they deliver it, you know, like that's our shit. And we'll stick with that. And, you know, like we make changes, like if we have to, just like the Saturday show, you know, like we'll do things, you know, do double episode reviews and whatnot, if that's how it has to go sometimes. Sometimes you got to make changes and do certain things, you know, to make the schedule work and, you know, whatever, whatnot. But overall, in general, I'm with you, Alan. I like to digest the episodes.
Yeah.
And let them sit, right? You know, and then have that whole week almost, you know, whatever, whatnot. Yeah. Go and watch the next episode right before I go to review another show, you know, from show to show.
I mean, you put an hour of your time into it. You should at least.
It becomes a habit if you do it that way.
Yeah.
It's very hard to break it. And actually go ahead in the series and whatnot, all that. Like, I haven't watched Ed and Shogun at all. I'm a week behind real time with the show.
Yeah.
They dropped two episodes to start it, and we didn't want to do a double episode review. So we started off with the first, right?
Yeah.
You know, we stay behind, but Shogun's tough. The episodes are long.
Yes.
It's a lot to talk about, right?
Yeah. I mean, I watched the first two, and that's all I've been so far. I hadn't had a chance.
Oh, Shogun?
I mean, there's so much. There's so much.
Oh God, I'd love to. I can't wait to rewatch those episodes at some point.
Yeah, those first two.
Episode two is really good.
You know,
episode two is the one that really sucks you into Shogun.
Yes, it does. Plus the casting we're deviating.
How much you want to bet? Like, you will slam through that shit. I guarantee you. You'll get right through Shogun. You won't like fuck around with that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who watches it ends up just watching the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's there's some shows that you can do that, and some shows that are so good that you just watch all of them.
Shogun is like that.
You know, and then you have to watch it again and again and again, because then, you know, you'll think about it, or you'll watch it. Like, there's a lot of shows like I watched and I just watched through them, and then they'd come on TV and I'd be watching it. I'd be like, I don't remember that part. Like, oh, shit. You know, I went through it so quick.
I've never been a binger. Shogun's not the kind of show that you binge. You need to let it marinate a little bit on you when you take it, the episodes. Honestly, in my opinion, you know, folks, like, I'm saying, not saying that works for everybody, right? We all have a different, you know, way of going about how we take in our entertainment, right? And our TV series and whatnot and all that. But for me, I really need that time to, like, kind of, like, you know, I mean, seriously, really high level shit like Shogun, Fallout and whatnot. You know, you need to let it, like, simmer, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, because it's a lot to take in one shot, right? And then sit here and talk about right after, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And without having that time mentally to sort of, right, soak in that, the whole, you know, the totality, right, of it, Alan, you know, and then reflect on it after you see the next episode, too, because that changes your whole viewpoint, right? So, you know, it's interesting, right? Listen, man, let's get the hell out of here. It was a good show.
Yes, it was.
You know, thank you for coming out with me, Alan. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you inviting me.
And, you know, hopefully I'll see you soon. You know, in like in a short period of time, you'll be back on the show with us.
Yeah.
Right? I know you do the best you can. But we appreciate you, Alan. Hey, look, we got your first TV series episode review out of the way, brother.
I did. I got it done.
There you go.
Busted a cherry.
Yeah. You get a participation trophy, motherfucker.
Yeah.
There you go, baby.
Yeah,
all right, folks, listen. Have a great rest of your weekend. You know, be safe. God bless everybody. You know, I hope that everybody is you know, doing well and whatnot, and everything, and you have a good week this week. But look, we have a good week this week. On Monday, we're reviewing S-Men 97. We're doing episode 5. On Wednesday, I think it's Shogun Chapter 9, so we're almost to the end of it, right? And shit, you know, on Friday, we're doing Fallout Episode 3, right? We're switching over from Saturdays, thank God. All my Saturdays back. For Alan and for myself, we're going to get the hell out of here, but hopefully we'll see you on the next show, and peace.
Yeah.